Welcome back to another episode of the Bills Wire podcast brought to you by USA Today Sports Media Group. I'm your host, Rob Quinn. I'm the managing editor of BillsWire.com. You can find me on Twitter at RobQuinn619. As always, I'm here with my co-host, Kyle Salagi. Before we get into the show, make sure you bookmark BillsWire.com. Connect with us on social media at the BillsWire on Twitter, Facebook. Also, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Audioboom, wherever you find your podcasts, and be sure to leave that 5-star review. Kyle, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Excited for this final Bills Wire podcast of the calendar year, and possibly the last of the drought era, which would be fantastic.
Hopefully. I mean, we're both young guys. The last time the Bills were in the playoffs, I was 8 years old. How old were you the last time that they made the playoffs?
I believe I was 2.5.
Two and a half. Okay, so you were crawling around in diapers, so you didn't have the anger of the Music City Miracle or debacle, as we like to call it up here. But nonetheless, it's a huge week in Buffalo. The Bills go down to Miami, to Hard Rock Stadium. Sunday kickoff is at 4:25. They need a win. They need a Baltimore Ravens loss or losses by the Tennessee Titans and Los Angeles Chargers, and the Buffalo Bills will snap the 17-year-long playoff drought, the longest in all major sports. The embarrassment, the cloud that's been hanging over Buffalo for those 17 years. How are you feeling about this week and just really the atmosphere around Buffalo leading up to this game?
Yeah, I'm not sure why, because my tenure as a Bills fan has been full with nothing but disappointment. But I just have a good feeling about this. I think everything is going to go our way. I don't know why. It could just be blind fandom, but I really think we're going to beat the Dolphins this weekend, and I just have a feeling that the Ravens are going to lose. But I've often been wrong with gut feelings, but hopefully. The cards fall our way, and we somehow sneak into the playoffs. And if the Bills do make the playoffs, the city of Buffalo is not surviving past Sunday night.
On New Year's Eve, nonetheless. I am locking my doors, bolting them shut, and hiding from everything until the sun comes up, because we've seen Bruce Almighty, and we know how Buffalo gets after big wins. But before we get into the Dolphins game, we'll do a quick recap of that Christmas Eve exciting game that was full of controversy, really. I mean, the Bills lost 37-16, but the biggest storyline to come away from that game was really the overturned call at the end of the first half. Tyrod Taylor to Kelvin Benjamin for 4 yards over our old friend Stephon Gilmore was called a touchdown on the field. The referee, when it went to review, was talking to Tyrod Taylor. They were watching the replay together. Said, what a throw and catch. Then the call comes in from New York. Call's overturned. McDermott comes running over to the official. Screams, how is that not a touchdown? He says, I don't know. Terry Pegula had some interesting comments about that. How the NFL needs to change the replay process. Social media erupted. I know you are going to be public enemy number one because you don't think it was a touchdown in the first place. And I guess if you look at the rule as is, it wasn't. But come on. At what point are we going to let the players play and not go to these semantics? Because you see his feet were in. This term making a football move and having possession, I thought it was a touchdown. Why don't you?
I'm ready for the hate here, but so.
And that's Kyle's take on why it wasn't a touchdown.
he most definitely got both of his feet down at one point. Both of his feet touched down in the end zone when the ball was in his possession. But at one point, he bobbled the ball.
Oh.
And after he regained possession, he never got his left foot down again. And there's the image that's circulating around where it looks like both of his feet are in bounds when he has the ball. But I watched the video again. I've watched it 100 times, but I watched it again before we recorded this. and his left foot is over his right ankle, and it like hits his right ankle. So there's like no way that could have tapped down in the end zone, and then you see it come down on the white out of bounds.
All right, well, that was a touchdown, and it didn't matter because the Bills gave up 24 unanswered points in the second half to the New England Patriots, so all the complaining about it is for naught. Replay, we do need to take a look at it. The NFL, it's just getting ridiculous with all these reviews and overturned calls. There's a controversy. I don't even know what a catch is anymore. It's ridiculous. They need to let the players play, and they need to figure something out. But at the end of the day, the Bills can't point to that singular call as a reason for the loss. Now, moving on from that, other than that call, you know, there's been a lot of discussion and arguments really on social media arising about the play of Tyrod Taylor. He went 21 of 38 for 281 yards, and it was a nice stat line, but a lot of people are criticizing the play calling. Mike Tolbert drew the wrath of fans. Some Marvelous fans started a GoFundMe to have him released, and Tolbert spent his Christmas defending himself on Instagram, using some choice words that we can't say on the podcast before wishing him a Merry Christmas. But, I mean, Dennison needs to decide what kind of offense he wants. Every week, we're seeing different plays. They're forcing Mike Tolbert into a role that he does not fit. He was brought in to be a short yardage back, and that's it. Why is he lining up running slants out wide? Why is LeSean McCoy coming off the field? Really, the entire offense. And what does Mike Tolbert have on these coaches where he's getting this playing time?
That's really the million-dollar question right there. The GoFundMe's dumb, but it's a solid point, I guess, because there is no reason why Mike Tolbert should have this big of a role in the offense. I wrote in the Slack group the other day during the game, I was like, people can complain about the officiating all they want, but when Mike Tolbert is an active player in your offense, you're beating yourselves, which was true because I believe there was like a 2nd and 18, which is the play where Tolbert ran the slant on, and we went to him and he dropped the ball. It's like, well, why are you even targeting Mike Tolbert on a slant on 2nd and 18 in the first place?
Yeah, our good friend Eric Turner, who does excellent work, was really defending it, because saying that he wasn't mad at the play call, he was mad at the execution. My issue with that is what do you hope to gain if it's executed properly? He's 5'9", 250 pounds, split out wide, running a slant into traffic. So your best case scenario is he gets 6 yards, and we get to watch Mike Tolbert run a slant. And your worst case is what happened, is a drop, and then you have a goofy Bills fan coming and making a GoFundMe, trying to raise $3,000 for himself to have Mike Tolbert released. And it's just a joke. I mean, if it's 3rd and 1, put Tolbert in the game. If it's 2nd and 18, no. That doesn't seem that difficult to me, but I don't understand why they're trying to make this Mike Tolbert a thing in the offense. I don't get it. Shady finished the game with 71 yards. On 17 carries. He was fantastic, as always, in the passing game. Deontay Thompson made some huge, huge plays in the passing game. I think he had a 46-yard reception. I want to say a 30-something-yard reception. But what were your overall view of the offense in that game and what you could take from that going forward into this Sunday as they take on the Miami Dolphins?
The biggest question for me coming out of this game is, why does the team fall apart in the second half? Why is that a new thing? They did it 2 weeks ago, luckily against the Dolphins, Luckily, they scored 21 points in the first half of that game, so they're 3 points in the second half. Really didn't affect them all that much. And then Jay Cutler decided to be the Jay Cutler that we all know and love, and threw three interceptions, so that helped us out a bunch. But when you're going up against the New England Patriots, we kept it competitive in the first half. It was 13 all going into the half. You could argue that it should have been 17-13, it would have been, I think, if they allowed the Kelvin touchdown. But at the end of the day, it was tied going into the half, and it was a winnable game because we were playing well. And then in the second half, we scored on our first possession. We scored a field goal. Then after that, the offense was dead, and we allowed 24 points. So it's really not fun to see a team just fall apart in the second half, but that's the trend right now for some reason.
Yeah, really. The momentum, I know people are gonna say, oh, momentum isn't real, but it just seemed like the life was sucked out of the Bills in the second half. And the Patriots can do that to anybody. Bill Belichick makes adjustments better than anyone in the league. Tom Brady had, I think, 218 passing yards, and they didn't need him to have more than that because they went to the ground game and they gashed the Bills as the Bills have been gashed all year on the ground. Deion Lewis led the way as the Patriots averaged 5.1 yards a carry on 38 attempts, 197 rushing yards. They moved the chains 14 times on the ground, and it's just unacceptable. The Bills do not have the front seven talent to defend the run, and teams know this. So this is something that needs to be fixed and fast because we saw in the Bills and Dolphins' first meeting, Kenyan Drake got off to a hot start, but after the Bills put up points, they had to abandon the run game. Now, if the Bills don't put up points early and the Dolphins are able to get into a groove and let Kenyan Drake and Damian Williams do their thing, it's not going to be an easy win. And remember, they only won 24 to 16 after Cutler threw three interceptions. They couldn't score in this three. They scored 3 points in the second half, and it was still a one-score game, really. So, I mean, it's an away game. It's the biggest game in over 10 years for the Bills. Playoffs are on the line, and it's definitely a concern. But Tyrod Taylor, as much criticism as he gets, he seems to have Miami's number, Kyle, don't you think?
He most definitely has Miami's number. In the 5 games that he's played against Miami, while in Buffalo, he's completed 65% of his passes, 9 touchdowns, no interceptions. Well, he doesn't throw interceptions in general. But
He also has 200 rushing yards and 2 touchdowns in those 5 games. I mean, just 2 weeks ago, he was 17 of 29 for 224 and a touchdown. And McCoy and Charles Clay also seem to have their biggest games against the Dolphins as well. So.
Yeah, very true. But it's just I do not understand the Tyrod hate. I mean, I saw tweets earlier today saying this is a playoff team. We just need a better quarterback. If we had a better quarterback, we'd already be qualified for the playoffs. And it's like I mean, look at what Tyrod's working with. You just talked about the run defense that's trash. And then look at his receiving core. He had nothing before he got Kelvin, and Kelvin's playing on a torn meniscus. He's still good, but a torn meniscus is a torn meniscus. So I don't understand how you can look at the team and then say Tyrod's the issue, and just look at his stats, look at how he plays. He's a very efficient quarterback. I don't get the blame. But I mean, you can't argue that he plays well against Miami because I mean, his stat line proves it. So hopefully we'll get another performance like that this weekend.
Yeah, definitely. And the Dolphins coach, Adam Gase, is well aware of Tyrod's success against them. And he seems more scared of Tyrod and is heaping more praise on Tyrod than most Bills fans who own his jersey. Just on a conference call yesterday, he goes, unfortunately, he said, I'm aware of that success, unfortunately. I think he's done a great job, number one, of protecting the football. I think he does a great job where a lot of guys, when they play our defensive front, they panic. and those guys get to them. Whereas Tyrod does a great job staying in the pocket, and when he does see a lane or he can get outside the pocket, he does it, and he really hurts us when he does, whether he runs it or they scramble drill us, and we don't stay tight on the defender or stay tight on the receiver, and then he'll hit us for a big play. I think his patience is just really good against us. He is not affected as some of the other guys we've played with against our pass rush. He does a good job of taking each play as it comes. If something bad's going on, he's finding a way to get out of it. That's probably the biggest praise I've heard of him. And then he goes on to talk about him and LeSean McCoy's connection when he finds him in open space, saying it's tough enough when you play a guy that's athletic and has a really good feel in the pocket, but then he's hitting receivers or running backs when we're playing him. It makes it extremely tough. When you got the guy that's in the backfield, talking about LeSean McCoy, then that makes it even scarier, because when he gets the ball to him and there's space, then you've got some issues. And that is where the Bills are able to have success against Miami. That's what they're going to need to do on Sunday. That's what they were able to do 2 weeks ago. And the Bills need to make sure that they get Shady involved early, early, and often, and do not let Mike Tolbert run slants. Other than that, I think Charles Clay, obviously, he's always seems to have those revenge games against Miami. But that is a big issue. That and negating the Dolphins' pass rush. What do you think about really your keys for Buffalo to come away with a win?
As you said, getting LeSean McCoy involved, but that's been a key all season, just because he is undeniably the team's best offensive player. So just getting the ball to him will be crucial to the team's success. And I just have a feeling that Taylor's in for a big game here.
Deontay Thompson is hurt in practice.
Are you serious?
Deontay Thompson's hurt.
Well, there's the offense. Trainers.
So we'll keep you posted on that on Bills Wire as more news comes out about that. But he was just hurt in practice. That'll be something to keep an eye on as Zay Jones, Kelvin Benjamin, Brandon Tate appear to be the top receivers if he is to miss any time.
Yeah, Brandon Riley could maybe play on Sunday, or Malachi Dupree. So that'll be interesting to watch. But regardless, just get it to Shady. And just going back to the Gase quote, this quote where he says he just basically praised him for having a presence in the pocket. But according to Twitter, Tyrod has no pocket presence, so I don't know who to believe.
Rick Dennison doesn't think so either. He says Tyrod needs to not avoid pressure.
Ooh.
He said when he was sacked 6 times against the Patriots, Dennison said, yep, there were some breakdowns, but Tyrod needs to sometimes not avoid pressure. I mean, that sounds kind of hilarious considering the type of quarterback that Taylor is, but you know Dennison wants that drop back quarterback. He's been, you could tell he's steaming out of the ears every press conference when he's talking about Tyrod's. He wants him to get that 3-step drop, get it out on time. And that's probably why if the Bills do not win this game, we will not see Tyrod Taylor in a Bills uniform ever again. But nonetheless, he still has respect around the league, and that shows that he will land on his feet if that is the case.
Yeah, I honestly think this is his last game, even if they make the playoffs, which is just, it's truly crazy to think that.
No.
I don't know, man. I honestly don't think that he's going to be back next year.
In the playoffs?
If we make the playoffs, he'll start the playoffs. Oh, I thought so. Okay. No, we're not going to Peterman in the playoffs. No. But if we make the playoffs, even if we make the playoffs, he'll play throughout the playoffs, but then I think we'll get rid of him in the offseason, just because the coaching staff obviously isn't committed to him, or the front office obviously isn't committed to him, which is upsetting. And it's crazy how this is the best chance we've had to make the playoffs since 2004, probably, and there's still a lot of people who don't think the quarterback's any good.
I mean, Devil's advocate, you know that you and I are some of the biggest Tyrod defenders on social media. We go to bat for him. But at the end of the day, a coach wants a quarterback that's going to be able to run his offense and stay on schedule. Taylor is a talented quarterback, but he is 29 years old. And how long is that mobility going to last? And how long can you rely on a quarterback that needs really the perfect storm to happen around him for the best outcome? I mean, Tyrod does have those shiny moments every single weekend where he just makes ridiculous plays, but the inconsistencies are there, and I can understand the logic behind them wanting to find their real franchise quarterback with a new regime, the draft picks they have, the class that's coming out. But I don't think that we'll be in a situation where we were a few years ago with Ryan Fitzpatrick, where they released him immediately in the offseason, letting the entire NFL know, hey, we're desperate for a quarterback and we're going to take one very high. We have no leverage. You know this. And they're stuck taking EJ Manuel. So I think that they'll keep Tyrod at least through the draft and through camp, given the fact that his contract is still very friendly. I wouldn't say they're going to cut him, but I do think that a rookie quarterback will be here with Tyrod in a quarterback competition in training camp. I think he'll be around, but I do think that his time is limited and he could be traded or moved during camp or something when the rookie is in town. But that's something to talk about at a later date. Another topic going forward, Miami's eliminated from the playoffs. The Chiefs beat him last week, ensuring that they'll have a losing record. They have nothing to play for but pride at this time. The Bills, now, all of the games that can affect the Bills' playoff chances are at 425. Miami is going to want to play spoiler, obviously, to an AFC East rival. And the Bills know what's at stake. Obviously, there's got to be some nerves knowing the simple fact that they could be the team to end this huge drought. Are you worried at all about the Dolphins trying to just play spoiler, ruin the Bills' Happy New Year's, and the Bills worrying too much about what else is going on? Or do you think that Sean McDermott can kind of get these guys in?
I hope that he can, level them out. It's just, they have to be so nervous. Just knowing that this team hasn't been to the playoffs in this century.
It's all that's talked about.
Exactly. They hear it every day. So they obviously have a lot of pressure, like, as you said, to be the team to end it. And Miami, like, yeah, you're right. They have nothing to play for. Just, you know what? Let's make it 18 years for them. That's all that we have to play for at this point. So let's go out there, give it everything we got. Hopefully that will win the game. But if I remember correctly, Miami clinched a playoff spot last year in Buffalo. So it would just... Was it last year that happened, or was it?
I think it was.
I think it was, too. So it would just be super fitting if we clinch a playoff spot this year in Miami. But we'll just have to wait and see how everything plays out, really.
Yeah, so, drum roll. Do they win?
Yes.
What's the score?
300 to 299.
I agree. Are the Bills making the playoffs?
Yes.
They are.
Everyone loses. Ravens, Chargers, Titans lose.
I agree.
We're fifth seed.
Are we getting process tattoos?
Absolutely. If they make the playoffs, I'm getting the word process tattooed over my heart.
I'm getting trust the process right over it. With
three
you.
Words.
And we're bringing Rich, and we're bringing Justin, and we're bringing Joe, and we're bringing Rich Fan up from Pennsylvania. We're bringing Cole down from Canada. That's our awesome staff at Bills Wire. You heard it here. 300 to 299. The Bills are winning Sunday against the Miami Dolphins. The playoff drought is coming to an end. I'm Rob Quinn. You can find me on Twitter at RobQuinn619. Kyle, where can they find you?
On Twitter at Kyle Selegi.
Also, follow the Bills Wire. You're going to want to follow us all week through the game. While you're hiding, while there's fires and cars and riots going on from the Bills ending the playoff drought, we're going to have everything you need to know, analysis, breakdowns, player comments, videos of the parties, everything that's going on. We're your one-stop shop for Bills news, analysis, and highlights. Once again, make sure you subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Audio Boom, wherever you find it. Leave us a 5-star review. You know you love the show. Thank you for listening. Go Bills, and we'll talk to you soon.